Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Okay, this is interesting too, the data that you have. No other country has anything similar in terms of research?
Not in a nice format. I mean, Peter Davenport has done a fantastic job with the National UFO Reporting Center. But you actually have to go through his data and put it into a spreadsheet yourself, which is very time-consuming. Cometa has a version of a spreadsheet. The most effective one right now, I just saw UFO unidentified or unidentified UFO, which was the one from England. They've actually copied the Canadian UFO survey in its format, but they haven't made its data base public yet. And we've made ours public for some time. So there's a lot of collections, like even MUFON, for example, has a, you know, its CMS database, which unfortunately is not accessible to anybody except MUFON members and field investigators now. But it wasn't in a easily readable spreadsheet either. It had a lot more data points than necessary. So it's sort of a proprietary kind of thing. And other organizations too. But in terms of simple databases, there's not a lot that are out there. Ian, I mentioned Isaac Coy. He's done a really good job of putting things in nice databases. So some of that exists. And if you go to the AFU Archives for UFO Forschung website, and they have Isaac has created, or they've curated, a section called UFO Databases. And I think the Cometa report is in there too. But in terms of spreadsheets and, you know, even Excel or DBase or whatever, there's not a lot that are easily accessible. So, and getting back to why we're doing this, is that because you need to crunch it, and AI can crunch data quite nicely, but if it's all over the place and haphazard, it's not particularly easy to compare apples and oranges in that regard. So abductions, I think, are a different, this is going back to your question, Gene, finally, that abductions are a different entity, not meaning alien, but different in scope and characteristics than the typical UFO report. And so they have to be treated differently, I think. I don't think you can lump them all together, but I think there are ways of analyzing them that can be put into a spreadsheet and a database, and I think some people have, but it takes some time, and they have to be taken out of context of the UFO database itself. Having said that, there are a few close encounters of the fourth kind which snuck into the Canadian UFO survey. One in particular, one case that springs to mind, was a report, because we get UFO reports in Canada from a National Defense and also the National Research Council, they did get some reports of abductions, and they filed them in their, you know, among their UFO files. So they exist, and when we were including all the National Research Council files in our database, we included it because it was reported to the National Research Council, and we had some information on it. But those are the exception rather than the rule, and I'm not sure how to amalgamate the two disparate sets of data. There might be a way of doing it, and maybe we'll do it in the future, but we don't really know how to do that right now.
Well, how many abduction reports actually involve UFOs? Now, you've got the earlier cases that involved, like, a lot of, you know, like car kidnappings, you know, where the UFO would swoop overhead, and that was well. But a lot of the more recent cases are more like bedroom incidents, where a UFO really isn't involved, strange creatures possibly, but no UFO.
I have to agree. You know, that's one thing that's really shifted in ufology. You know, we have Betty Hill, we have B.S. Boas, and, you know, Pascagoula. Philip Mantle's done a great job of putting together all of that. But other than that, you know, there's, we've shifted away from the nuts and bolts version of abductions to more of a spiritual and paraphysical type of thing. So you're right. You know, they don't necessarily seem to be the same phenomenon at all anymore.
Yeah, good luck with the AI trying to analyze that.
Well, the AI might want to become what it's analyzing.
Well, or what's the old joke about they finally pose the question to AI, is there a God? And AI replies, there is now.
That's back to Colossus, the Forbin Project.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I love that movie, by the way.
Should be revisited, given all the interest in AI right now, of course.
Well, I just I saw an article yesterday that was talking about where some groups are considering combining several AIs to try to elicit better responses from them. And that was my thought immediately went to Colossus, the Forbin Project.
Yeah.
Because what happened.
Elon Musk and Zuckerberg have said, let's not, they're warning people about advancing AI right now. Mind you, they've made their money on it, so hey, you know, nice time to stop. But it'll be interesting to see. And I am really excited to see the prospects for what AI can do, because applied to spinal care research, for example, just imagine if you had an AI built into an exosuit or something like that for somebody who whose spinal cord was damaged in an accident. I mean, that person could walk again. Just, you know, the possibilities are really phenomenal. You know, whether people are afraid of, you know, what might transpire if used improperly versus the exciting, you know, positive possibilities. You know, it's an interesting future that we have before us.
I was just thinking when you mentioned that an exoskeleton, a TV series that was only on for a year, starring Carl Lumbly, whom I'm sure you remember from the TV show Alias and others, called Mantis with M.
Well, I do remember that, yeah.
Right. And this is someone who was basically crippled. He was in a wheelchair. But he wore this exosuit for as long as the power held out. Kind of like Iron Man, you know, if the thing that's powering his heart fails, he dies. If his exosuit, which gives him extra powers, fails, then he gets back in the wheelchair.
I can, and let's go further back in time, Gene, see if you can remember. A British marionette TV show called Joe 90, where a kid puts on this helmet and basically an AI computer is interfaced with him and becomes super intelligent and can do amazing things. You know, that was done, I think, in the 60s, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, we're revisiting some of the stuff that's already been thought of for many, many years.
Well, look, they bring back TV shows that were canceled 40 years ago.
My Mother, the Car. I'm waiting for My Mother, the Car.
Please, no, don't spare me. I mean, we had, what, Magnum P.I., and of course, the original star wouldn't even get involved, even though he, for several years, he was the next show on. And they brought back Hawaii Five-O for 8 or 9 years. And of course, Quantum Leap.
Is back,
is
yeah.
His second incarnation.
And I will defend My Mother, the Car, because isn't Tesla really the same thing?
My Tesla, the car.
My Tesla, the car. Yeah.
Well, sometimes it's funny that the rebooting of a show actually becomes more successful, like Equalizer, where the lead character is now a female, Queen Latifah, and then The Flash. The Flash lasted yes. One season, but the new version, which is coming to an end this year, I think has gone on for 9 seasons. So sometimes yes. The successor is better. Plus, they brought back the original Flash and gave him a supporting role. So everybody's making money from this. That's the big thing in comic book stories, where you bring back an actor who played a comic book character in an earlier show, and it comes back as that person's father or something. More to come. with Chris, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Pedicast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Tehibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, he doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
I need a copy of my tax return. How do I get one?
If you don't have a copy of your original tax return, you can get a transcript of your tax return for free from the IRS. A transcript shows most line items from your return, which is usually all you need. You can order a transcript of any return filed within the past 3 years, including forms 1040, 1040A, and 1040EZ. All you need to do is go to irs.gov/transcript to order your transcript today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
Of course, Chris, when you see aliens in connection with UFO sightings or abductions, if you're seeing physically what's really going on, they could be AIs of some sort.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember, if I'm not mistaken, there was a science fiction author whose last name was Drake, and he had an interesting series where an alien ship does come to Earth and there's no aliens on board because it's all remotely piloted, because, of course, it's far too expensive and too dangerous for physical beings to travel between the stars. So what we're seeing actually are, you know, the AIs on board the craft visiting Earth and interacting that way and relaying the information back to the home planet. So, you know, there it's certainly possible that that's what we're experiencing. It's also true that in the UFO databases, there's very, very few close encounters anymore. It used to be that, you know, a close encounter of the first kind where somebody sees a UFO at close range, and the second kind where the object seen at close range leaves behind some sort of physical evidence. Those cases are almost completely absent from ufology now. We don't have the Bell and Soul cases of things happening in lavender fields. We don't have, you know, Delphos, Kansas rings. We don't have any of that. And in terms of seeing a physical craft up close, you know, those are very, very rare now in UFO reports. The vast majority are simply lights in the sky. And so the UFO characteristics themselves seem to have changed. And in terms of seeing entities other than contactees, you know, the entities are almost absent. Close encounters of the third kind are almost absent from ufology. So ufology has, while it's going through a renaissance in terms of scientific interest, it's also, you know, gone through a radical change in that it's almost been, reined in a little bit in anticipation of the science that's going to be applied to it. It's, you know, very different type of thing that we're looking at now.
It keeps its distance.
Yes, it keeps its distance right now. That's a very good way of putting it.
But the phenomena does seem to have patterns where it reinvents itself, so to speak. And you know, you were talking about AI earlier. I mean, it would be interesting, you know, if you had that really, you know, great database to enter into it, to see if an AI could actually detect this pattern, to see if, you know, if the phenomena is cyclical, so to speak.
Yeah, and one of the things that I'm doing right now, and because the Canadian UFO Survey, we only started in 1989. Only 1989. That's 34 years that we've been at this thing. So we have 34 years of data. Before that, we don't have a really good, rigorous database. And I'm looking specifically at Canada right now, but we specifically don't have a rigorous database. But one of the things we're doing now in ufology research and with my colleagues is we're retroactively filling in another database before the Canadian UFO Survey. So we're going back beyond 1989 to the 1940s, the beginning of the flying saucer era. And I think we already have a number of thousand cases in there, and we hope to add many, many more. And we've gone back before 1947, of course, to include some cases as far back as the 1800s. We're not going to go back to the religious stuff Ezekiel's wheel or stuff like that. We're looking for specific dates, specific times, documented observations, that type of thing. So we'll probably go as far back into the early 1900s and maybe a smidge earlier than that. But getting a database like that, you know, will certainly be useful for AI to compare stuff that's happened over the past 25 or 30 years, the stuff that's gone on before then, to try and find some of these patterns that you're talking about.
I mentioned briefly the rebooting of characters before, and there was one series called Legends of Tomorrow based on DC Comics, and one of the characters in there was Atom, about a guy who develops this exosuit and makes himself real small, and the name of the character was Raymond Palmer.
Right.
And it was literally named after the guy from the sci-fi world who was John Keel called him like the master or father of the UFO field, Ray Palmer.
And that's how I got into ufology, by the way. I was getting into the UFO thing in the 70s, trying to collect as much information as I could find. And there were some UFO mags at the time, but not a lot. And I looked at older issues of things, and I found an issue of flying saucers from outer space, which was a later title of the original outer space pulp. And in one of those pulps, I found an ad for a UFO group that was in my own city in the 1950s, and I found it was still around in the 1970s. And so pulps, you know, some of those flying saucer pulps, and flying saucers from other worlds, and it was Other Worlds science fiction magazine that that this was in. So it was an actual science fiction pulp, and Other Worlds was one of the magazines that Palmer had, you know, included some of the Darrows and the Taros and the, you know, aliens within the Earth and that type of thing. But it was in the pages of Outer Other Worlds Flying Saucers pulps.
The section was called Saucer Club News.
Saucer Club News, absolutely.
That's right. And Saucer Club News, courtesy of that, I found some announcements in Saucer Club News, and I met Alan Greenfield and Rick Hilberg and people like that all through that magazine, lifelong friends from Saucer Club
News. And so the science fiction pulps, whether ufology wants to accept it or not, had its origin in science fiction, and you know, this is how we got ufology today. In fact, I showed up. I went to there was a science fiction club in town. That was what it was. And I went to the science fiction fan club, and I explained who I was. I was, you know, into UFOs and flying saucers, and they refused at first to let me join. Because, of course, they're interested in science fiction as a literature, and flying saucers were merely, and they thought about it for a second, and they said, oh, yeah, I guess you can join, no problem at all.
You know, there was a big thing about that in the 50s and 60s, and I'll tell you about that soon. But I'll give you part of it. There was a UFO researcher named Lee Munsick who came out with a UFO magazine, tried to put elements of sci-fi in there. And the really big sci-fi fans of that era, they rebelled. They didn't want that to happen. I'll also tell you another story about Ray Palmer, not the comic book character, but the sci-fi and UFO guy, in our next segment with Gene, Chris, and Tim. You're in
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. The Biden administration set to make an ambitious climate push by imposing new rules about cars. A traffic stop turned deadly yesterday afternoon in western Wisconsin, claiming the lives of two police officers. No word yet on what led the officers to be fatally shot, but authorities say an exchange of gunfire was involved and the suspect was later pronounced dead. Pope Francis presided over Easter Vigil Mass in St. Peter's Basilica after skipping some Holy Week ceremonies on doctor's orders. The Powerball jackpot growing after there was no grand prize winner in Saturday night's big drawing. It's now an estimated $192 million. The following night, the Mega Millions drawing up to $441 million. After months of speculation, Matthew McConaughey has finally been confirmed for his own Yellowstone spinoff series. Corey Myers, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Jennifer Stein, executive producer of The Disclosure Dialogues. You're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, we were talking about the fact that Ray Palmer, as a result of a childhood accident, was very short. Like, I don't know, 4'7", 4'8", whatever it was. There is a photo around, which I will not share publicly, a 20-year-old guy from Brooklyn, New York, wearing a sport jacket, standing next to Ray Palmer. I was 20, he was whatever age he was, in 1965. And you see Palmer, you know, 4'9", 4', whatever, and I'm 6'2", at least then, standing next to each other. There's a photo of that. So, yes, I knew Ray Palmer.
Wow, that's a feather in your cap.
And Richard Shaver, as a matter of fact.
Wow, and Richard Shaver, of course, was the one who had penned a lot of the flying saucer stuff.
Yes, he did, but we go back quickly to Fate magazine, where a lot of this started, the first issue of Fate. In fact, the current publisher of Fate, Phyllis Galdi, is selling a reprint of the first issue, but on good paper, not on pulp paper, because it would have disintegrated by now. And you see the first story, the headline is Kenneth Arnold's sighting, and the editor is listed as Robert N. Webster. And the reason we have Robert N. Webster is because Ray Palmer was still working for Ziff Davis and couldn't say that he and his business partner, Kurt Fuller, had started another magazine, Fate. So he called himself Robert N. Webster.
Wow. And, you know, when I went to the science fiction club, the club was run by a fellow who was part of First Fandom. He actually was personal friends with Forrest Ackerman and a lot of the individuals in First Fandom and science fiction in the 1930s. And I had an opportunity to interview Forrest Ackerman and a few others when they came to town for Worldcon. And it was absolutely fascinating to hear these guys talk about, you know, what it was like in the really early days of science fiction and how it had evolved with time. And I'm going to have to see if I can find a copy of that interview. I know there's a video of me interviewing Forry Ackerman.
Let me give you my Ackerman story then.
Okay.
Yes, you asked for it. Okay. Okay, so now I'm 18 years old, and Ackerman is editor of a magazine called Famous Monsters of Film.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they put an announcement there. Hey, Forry Ackerman is going to travel around the country, and he's going to get together with different readers for lunch. So invite your friends, send me a letter as to why you think he should come to your home.
Ooh.
And in my home in Brooklyn, New York, one fine day, half a dozen people came there to meet Forry Ackerman, who was wearing his Bela Lugosi ring, the Dracula ring.
Yes. Wow.
And so we spent like an hour or so. And my mom made a salad for everybody. And we spent an hour or so with Ackerman. I tape recorded the session. Don't ask me where that tape is. I mean, I had a complete, like a broadcast studio. This is where I was first thinking of getting into radio. And I set it up with multiple mics, a mixer, and two tape recorders. I'd interviewed Ray Palmer. And that we actually printed, but the original tape is no longer around. Nor is the interview I did with Richard Shaver. Nor the interview I did with Kurt and Mary Fuller.
Wow. Well, there you go. And so we have something in common in that sense. So we both have interviewed Forry Ackerman.
Right. I encountered him several times after that at different sessions. But I wish I could have seen his home in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah, the museum. I hope that somebody managed to preserve some of that. And just a plug, when I interviewed Forry Ackerman, he was in Winnipeg for Worldcon, so that would have been 1986, if I'm not mistaken. And Worldcon is in China this year, in 2023. And any year that Worldcon is outside of North America, they have sort of an alternate Worldcon, NASFIC, in North America. NASFIC is in Winnipeg this year. So anybody who wants to attend the alternate Worldcon is going to be coming to Winnipeg, and I'll probably be attending that this year because you have to attend a Worldcon.
I've been to a few. I remember when Isaac Asimov used to give like keynote speeches, and he was a serious sci-fi writer and a funny guy to listen to.
Nice. Absolutely nice.
And the other story, which doesn't mean anything, my wife Barbara used to take singing lessons from an instructor who worked with opera singers at an apartment complex in New York City where Isaac Asimov had lived at one time.
Wow.
This is the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon or something. And
something like that.
Bacon. I only eat bacon though because I'm Jewish, so I do. Actually,
happy
I
Passover.
Do.
Happy yes, Passover, by the way.
Thank you. Someone said it's a stupid joke. No, we don't want to say that one. Or, yeah, who goes there? Matzah, Passover. Let's get back to serious stuff. Chris Rutkowski, have been chasing the flying saucers for lo these many years. Are we ever going to solve anything? Nice to have, of course, chief astronomer from Harvard participating now. Are we going to get any answers in our lifetimes?
You know, I would like to think it's going to happen, but I'm not sure. It's, we're going to get, some answers, but, it depends on what you're looking for. If the answer is, are aliens, out there for sure, I don't think we're going to get that answer. If you're going to ask, is the UFO phenomenon a real phenomenon, we might get that answer because, there is some evidence that it's worth taking a look at. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if, that we did find something along those lines.
Well, talking about Avi Loeb for a moment, we'd love to get him on the Paracast. We can talk to you about that later. But this thing he discovered, does he still think it's artificial?
Yes, he is absolutely convinced that that the object at the bottom of the ocean off the coast of New Guinea is definitely artificial. He's also convinced he's going to find it. He also wants to, he is very clear to distance himself from ufology. The Galileo Project really has no direct connection with ufology. That may seem strange because, you know, it does have individuals on there who have some background in ufology. I mean, Nick Pope is on there, for example, and a few others. But in terms of, you know, regular, what we think of as ufology, UFO sightings seen by people and that type of thing, the bulk of what Galileo Project is doing is developing methods by which we can record UAP in real time and analyze the data in various ways, and analyzing, you know, in terms of the physical stuff, you know, analyzing pieces of whatever is found. So there is a disconnect between the Galileo Project and ufology. There's no question of that. But Avi is absolutely certain that he's going to find something, and that what he's going to find is from outer space, from out there, and is not a chunk of a asteroid or comet or whatever. It will be interesting to see what happens. They're only a number of weeks away now from going off on the ship. They have a ship now that has been hired, and they have a process, and they're basically going to be using a giant vacuum cleaner to vacuum up stuff from the bottom of the ocean and then sort it on board initially on the ship, looking for artifacts, and then doing a greater sort on land.
I'll also look out for alien microbes.
Well,
part of my paranoid theory. We're going to get into a lot more discussions because Chris is, whether he knows it or not, going to hang with us for after the Paracast, but we've got more to come with Gene, Chris, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there and I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
I always like to be called the.
The.
Okay. And the guest is Para, and Tim is Cast.
That's right, yeah.
Castaway.
They'd like to do that with me. Anyway, this sounds like something promising here, looking into extraterrestrial technology. Avi Loeb doesn't connect that to the sightings at all? That maybe what he's looking for is what's been flying around?
Not really. As I said, there's a disconnect. There's some discussion at a very slight level regarding some of the cases. There's a lot of discussion of what's being said by Lou Elizondo and by some of the other individuals in the big limelight right now. That, like you say, we're going to find out, what the AARO has to say. We're going to find out what the Pentagon is actually doing, even though we don't have the data yet. But in terms of what the Galileo Project is doing, it's really something in a parallel track to ufology. But I think that, if anything, is discovered, that something promising shows up, there will be a significant discourse. So, the science behind it is... And I think rightly so, that there is a seems to be a disconnect between the science and the bulk of UFO fans, too. So I think because they don't want to enter into that conflict that they're saying, hey, we're doing our thing. We'll do our thing. You do your thing. And when we get together, it'll be to talk seriously about what's really going on.
What about that group that NASA formed?
Well, yes, except that they're even apart from the Galileo Project, that NASA is really just coming up with methodology for trying to understand what's being happening in UFOs. They're actually not looking at UFO reports themselves. They're looking at the methodology. They're trying to better understand how to use NASA tech to try and understand what's going on. So it's, doing a separate track effectively from what's going on.
But you think NASA, a space agency looking into UAPs...
Yes, although what's going on in the Galileo Project, I sat in on a presentation a couple of weeks ago that some of them have contracted with Planet Labs, which is the organization, the agency that collects all the satellite data. And they've done things like tracked the Chinese spy balloon from above and have found going back into all the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of images taken by satellites over the past several months, they've been able to find images of the Chinese satellite from above. So it was in there, but they actually had to use AI to tease out where these images were, and they found the track of the satellite. So Planet Labs, which is not NASA, but certainly is, uses some of the NASA equipment, but Planet Labs is a commercial venue, and they're doing a lot of UAP stuff right now, or contributing to UAP stuff right now.
Going back to what you were talking about, the object under the Pacific Ocean, why does Abby think that it could be of possible interstellar origin?
It goes back to the orbit that this thing was taking. And it was an interstellar orbit because it was a very parabolic, not coming in the way most comets and asteroids do. So it's coming in on a really weird orbit. There's some suggestion that its shape was a bit odd, and its composition seemed a little unusual. So based on that, he thinks that it definitely was an interstellar object as opposed to anything else. And if something's coming in from interstellar space, and since then, by the way, they found a couple more objects like that. So if it's really coming in like that, it might be of interest. And as somebody mentioned, I can't remember if it was you or Gene, that maybe there might be some molecules that we're not expecting. Maybe there are some unusual metals on that thing before it broke apart, and maybe we'll find it. So it'll be a signature of what life is like in between the stars, which we simply don't have much information on at all. So it'll be very valuable scientifically if he finds something, and he certainly is convinced he's going to find something.
Any idea if any of these objects, as well as Oumuamua, coming from the same location in the sky?
Well, that I don't know. I can't recall whether there was some discussion on that. Good question, but I don't know that one.
You could certainly ask them next time you see them.
Yes, absolutely.
But we kind of have that pipe dream here, that with all this exploration by scientists, something would come forward. Of course, that's the question of instant gratification. Unless there's a force that really wants us to know what it is, they can stay out of the way, sort of.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have this expectation that we've been waiting and waiting and waiting for proof that aliens are here, and now that science is on board, maybe we'll get more answers, because up until this point, a lot of the technology and the scientific advances have not been on board. So, and of course now with AI as well, maybe, this is the way that we can actually get some good data and some good information on what's really going on.
Assuming it's not AI itself coming back through time.
Assuming that, absolutely.
I mean, with all the crazy things going on, you have to assume, because we don't have answers, but we can guess.
That's true. We don't have the answers, but by golly, we sure can give some good questions, can't we?
Oh, we're just asking questions here, folks. That's all about. We're going to end this segment soon, but let me ask you to kind of sum things up. Where do you expect to be with this quest 5 years from now? Do you think we'll have some solid answers? I'm not saying next year. I'm saying 5 years. I'm going to be conservative about it.
5 years from now, I think that the Pentagon will finally have released enough data that we'll be able to get an idea of what they're talking about. I think that Avi Loeb and Galileo Project and maybe Enigma and maybe a few others will have gotten enough data that there'll be some results coming from that. But I think the UFO phenomenon is still going to be elusive. And I also think that UFOs or UAP are still going to be reported in significant numbers by people all around the world.
And a quick answer here. We assume, even though there are some unknowns there, that most are explained conventionally.
Absolutely. Most are explained, but, even in the Canadian UFO survey, we found, between 2 and 10%, and some years a little bit higher, don't seem to have obvious, easy explanations. The United States Air Force itself, in its Blue Book and Project Sign, found 18% were unexplained. So actually, the Canadian UFO survey, we do a better job of explaining UFOs than the United States Air Force.
Hey, tell our listeners if they want to know more of what Chris Rutkowski does, where do they check you out?
I'm all over social media, at Ufology Research. You can search for that. I'm also blogging at uforum.blogspot.com. And on Facebook, you can check me out. I'm a admin of the Facebook group UFO Updates in honor of Earl Bruce Knapp.
IS used to be like a message system, but now all 27 billion people who are members of Facebook can check out what you guys are up to. I check out your posts regularly. You can find us on Twitter. As long as Twitter lasts, and there's some suggestions, maybe it won't, we have a section called The Paracast. You also can check us out on Facebook. We have The Paracast Fan Club and another place called The Paracast. And don't ask me how those things started up separately. And we can't put them together without killing one of them because of the vagaries of Facebook. It is not vague to say that we offer branded merchandise at theparacast.shop. Or theparacast.store, all those top-level domains we have now, paracast.shop, theparacast.store, and we offer the branded merchandise, the T-shirts and everything, for your wearing pleasure. And for your listening pleasure, we have the Paracast Plus. Check out the Paracast.plus. We offer the After the Paracast podcast, where Chris will return, and we offer this show free of the network ads with higher quality audio, all for a low subscription price. If you use the coupon code UFO20, UFO20, you get a 20% discount on 5-year and lifetime subscriptions to Paracast Plus and the Paracast.plus, the Paracast.plus. Always a pleasure to have you on the show, Chris Rutkowski. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.